We're going to start part two of one of those messages we looked at a few weeks ago. Yeah, I was listening to a pastor a few days ago talking about, you know, back when I was a kid, people didn't die of heat. He's like, when we were a kid, we just fanned harder. So, might need to do a little bit of that today. But the conversation we started a couple months ago, I said, we're going to do part one, and then we're going to think about it for a while, and then we're going to come back to part two. This is one of those messages where you always hope that you never invite a visitor. At least I have always thought this way. I'm afraid to invite somebody because I don't know if they're going to talk about giving. And I don't want people to come. I don't want to bring my friend to church and then hear them say, well, you need to give your money to the church. Because that irritates me when I bring visitors and then the pastor gets up there and say, you should be giving more money to the church. And as we'll see today, that's not really the main goal. But we started part one a few months, it was 2 months ago, why we give. And through that we looked and we saw that we give, as we sang this morning, because the guy that we're trying to be like, that's what he did. He gave everything he had, and all of his resources were focused on making other people's lives better. That's why we give. Today we're going to talk about, well, what do I give? You know, crunching numbers is what a lot of people are afraid of. Oh boy, here we go. He's going to tell me I have to give whatever dollar amount. I'm not going to do that. But as we always start, let's start with our mission statement and read this together. Are you ready? With the Spirit of God, we will build relationships, lead others to Jesus, and disciple believers to be Christ-like. And the really short version is, seek and save the lost. If you want to condense it down into one sentence, that's what we're doing, trying to do. So the short version of this message is, we are supposed to give as much as God places on our heart to give. That's the short version. The longer version we're going to spend a few minutes talking about, but we have a few places we're going to go today to look at how people gave and how God responded. And we're going to end up in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So that's where we're going to end up today. So our key scripture is actually at the end of the message. So sometimes I'll say we're going to read our key scripture, everybody stand, then we'll pray. Well, it's at the end today. We're still going to ask God to help us, but it's going to come at the end. So let's just open with prayer. God, help us to know what you want us to know, and help us to take full responsibility of our own lives. Help me to say what you want us to hear and change it into whatever you need it to be. It's in the name of Jesus we ask this. Amen. So we're going to start in the book of Genesis, chapter 4. And if you know what's happened in chapters 1 through 3, God made everything and it was wonderful until somebody messed up and then somebody else went along with it. And then there are problems ensue. Well, in Genesis chapter 4, we come to these two brothers, the children of Adam and Eve. And they're two of their children, their names are Cain and Abel. Now, some of you will get distracted right now because if you're like me, you'll go on this tangent of, well, if there were Cain and Abel, where did the other kids come from? And then a little bit later it says, so Cain was afraid to go out into the world because he was afraid other people would kill him, and where'd those people come from? And if Cain and Abel were the only two boys so far, and Adam and Eve were the first ones created, then that's a whole other conversation. So I just said it all, so I'll know that I understand that sometimes we go on those rabbit trails, and Rick and Grady are learning that I have rabbit trails. If you ever sit through practice. So, that's a rabbit trail. There are some answers to those. We're not going to talk about that today. What's interesting is that Cain and Abel are still in the presence of God. They are still communing with God. And we know that because it tells us that. And in verses, or chapter 4, I'm just going to read a few verses here, but we're going to start Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. It said, now the man, Adam, had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. Again, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Abel was a keeper of the flocks, meaning he was a shepherd, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen?" God's talking to Cain right now. He said, "If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." Cain told Abel, his brother. And it came about, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Now this song, or I'm done singing. This passage is about an offering, not so much about murder. This passage is about offering. Two brothers, they live in the same house, they were raised by the same parents. They do kind of different things, but they're both out working. One of them brings something to God, and God says, "This is exactly what I asked for." The other one brings something to God, and God says, "I will not accept what you've brought." There are a whole lot of things we don't know in this scripture. We don't know if God had told them ahead of time what he expected. You probably think that they understood what they were doing ahead of time. They already had some expectations. Why they were bringing an offering, why Abel was a shepherd and Cain was a farmer, we don't know. But we do know that Cain brought some of his crop and gave it to God, and God did not accept it. And we know that Abel brought the first of his sheep and the fat portions, which are like, now we aren't allowed to eat fat because doctors tell us it'll give us clogged arteries and kill us. But back in the day, if you got the fatty pieces of meat, oh, buddy, that was good stuff. It's still good stuff. You just can't eat much of it. So what we see is Abel brings his first and his best, and Cain brings something else. And God says to Cain, "That's not what I want." And the interesting thing is God didn't say to Cain, "That's not what I want. You're a horrible person. I can't believe you did that. You should feel so guilty." He said, "That's not what I want." Cain's response was not, "Oh, I'm sorry. I will do better." Cain's response was, you know, he's got his lip out so far a bird's going to come and poop on it. It says his countenance fell. He was pouting. Cain pouted because he did something and God said, "That's not what I asked for," or "That's not what I expect." So instead of saying, "You know what? I knew better," or maybe he didn't know better, but maybe he said, "Okay, I did something that's not what God was wanting, so what I should do is go back and do what God asked for." Cain did not say that. It says he pouted. And while he was pouting, he went and talked to his brother. Now God told Cain, he said, "If you do well, won't your countenance be restored to you? Won't you get back to the right state of mind? If you do what I've asked you to do, your mind, your happy, you know, happy feeling, it'll come back if you do what I've asked you to do. But if you don't, the adversary, the deceiver," pause, that's the same person that came to Eve and said, "Didn't God say," and took God's words and twisted them so they would become what Eve wanted to hear. That same guy is who God's talking about here. God said, "Be careful, because if you don't obey, the deceiver is ready to pounce on you, and he'll destroy you. Sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." So here's an opportunity. And what Cain decides to do is listen to the deceiver, which in my mind, there's no account of this happening. But knowing the way Satan talked to Eve and Satan deceives other people, I could see Cain with his offering over there looking at Abel's saying, huh, and then here comes the crouching tiger at your door. He thinks he's special because he gave more than you. He's so full of himself. If you had nice sheep like that, you could give more too. I know we've never thought anything like that. Well, of course I would give more. If I made that much money, shoot. I'd give half of everything I made if I made that much money. He makes so much money, he thinks he's special. Punk. He has never given me anything either. Look at me over here scraping by. The deceiver is at your door trying to bring you back down. When you start comparing your, I know I shouldn't have done this, but I did it anyway, and I'm just hoping it'll slip by, and maybe God will say, oh, that's okay. I know I shouldn't have, but I did it. And instead of saying, okay, Ben, I knew better, what I do is I turn and look at other people and start blaming them for what I my disobedience. And that's what Cain does here. And the more Cain sat and looked at Abel's offering, what he was giving, and the more Cain refused to change what he was doing, the more bitter he became. And so he went and talked to his brother about it. And you know what happens when you go talk to people when you are bitter? All you hear is ammunition. Oh, well, she said this. And then he said this. And you walk away from bitter conversations with more reasons to be bitter. And it doesn't matter what the person said. They could have said, I love you. I am so sorry. You're the best thing that's ever happened to this world. All you'll hear is, you're the best thing that's ever happened to this world. Well, she even said, I'm the best thing that's ever happened in this world. And you know how this little stuff starts to infect our mind? Cain's attitude of giving was all messed up. It wasn't, God, what are you asking? That's what I'll give. It was in comparison to what Abel was giving. And there's a problem. All of that bitterness, that comparison of, well, I saw what they put in the offering plate and I don't have that much to put in. Well, I'm not even going to put anything. If they've got that much, they can give $10 more and I'll just keep mine because I really need it. That leads to bitterness and death, which is what Cain did. He went and killed his brother. He got so mad about it, he killed him. That's a bad idea. The bitterness in comparing our gifts, when it's God who's supposed to be directing our gifts, that'll lead to death. That's what it did here. There's another short story in the book of Acts, chapter 5, where we see some other people who are giving. And we won't read this all to you, but what's happened is there is a man, Barnabas, had a bunch of property. He sold it. And he brought it to the apostles and said, I have sold this property that it's not where he lived, but he sold this property and he brought this huge amount of money to the church. And everybody was like, this is wonderful. It says Barnabas, they were grateful for the gift that Barnabas gave. And these two other people were sitting over here in church. Now, it doesn't say that Barnabas came and said, hello, everyone. I would like to thank the Lord for giving me $75,000 to give to the church. I'm giving 75. It doesn't say he did that. It just says he made a gift and the whole church rejoiced. So these two people, Ananias and Sapphira, are sitting over here watching this happen and they say, oh, wow, he gave a lot of money and everybody was really happy for him and he got some recognition for it. So what they did was they took some property they had, they sold it, and this husband and wife took part of what they sold it for, and they brought it to the apostles, and they said, we have sold the property, and we are giving everything to God. Now, we have a few, well, what-ifs right here. I'm going to deal with them. The problem is not that they kept some of it for themselves. The problem is not that they were doing this kind of, well, it was, their motivation was wrong. The issue is not that they sold it and they didn't give everything. The issue was they were trying to receive the same accolade that Barnabas received. That was their motivation. It wasn't to help the church. It was so that people would see them dropping that big $100 bill in the offering plate. Hey, oh, let me get this out of my pocket. Shake it off, make sure it's all nice and straight. That's what they were doing. Acting like that was the gift that they had promised. So the problem comes up is they were lying. They were trying to manipulate the church into receiving credit for themselves. And when the husband came and brought this, and he said, we've sold it, and we are giving you everything. Peter said, why are you grieving the Holy Spirit? Why are you causing this turmoil, the life that God is trying to place in here? You're causing problems with your deception. And he said, when you sold it, it was yours to do with whatever you wanted. And when you were giving, it was yours to give as much as you wanted. But you've come and said, I'm doing everything I can for the Lord, and I'm giving him everything of my life, when really you're holding back quite a bit of it. He said, your motivation is wrong, your desire is wrong, and for whatever reason, I have no idea, not even going to speculate. Why? But Ananias fell over dead. That doesn't mean that if you deceive, you pull out your $100 bill and put it in the plate, that God's going to knock you over dead. Does not mean that. But something happened in Ananias' heart, and for some reason God said, I've given you as many chances as I'm going to give you. Boom. And then his wife came in, they went through the whole thing again, and Peter said, your husband's feet have just left the door. And she fell over dead too. So, the moral of the story is, sell everything you have and give it to the church or you're going to die. That is not it. And anybody who tells you that's it, you can close your Bible, say thanks for your time, and walk out of the building, because that is a lie. That's a pastor trying to get your money. What happened is their desire in their giving was screwed up. It was wrong. Their desire was for people to look at them and say, hey, that's amazing. I can't believe how great they are. That's the wrong desire. So now we've looked at Cain and Ananias and Sapphira, who in their giving, they had the wrong motivation. It wasn't how much they gave. We don't know why God didn't accept Abel or Cain's offering, but we just know it wasn't it. And instead of doing what they were supposed to do, they tried to deceive people. That's the wrong way to do it. There's some good news, though. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we find the answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul has been talking to the Corinthians, and they were preparing this offering. There was a need. This is the basis of New Testament giving. There was a need. And they were receiving an offering. And Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. He says, whoever sows sparingly... Man, I missed my... Okay, kids, I'm so sorry. I forgot to put that up there. See, that's Cain and Abel. The Lego Cain and the Lego Abel. Kills them. We'll leave it there for a second. He said, whoever sows sparingly... he will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Here's the key, verse 7, the key to the whole thing. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. What Paul has said is, don't give because you feel like, if I don't give, then I'm going to hell. That's not why you give. We don't give because we feel like, well, if I don't put something in the offering, then they're going to see that I didn't put anything in the offering plate, and they're going to think I'm a bad Christian. So just hit the stop button. Whenever that starts to roll in your mind, stop. I am giving because God loves a cheerful giver. I'm giving whatever I believe God has placed in my heart to give. And if I give bountifully, now that does mean money and time. It says we'll reap bountifully. But every time Jesus talks about the harvest, what is he referring to? He says, look, for the fields are ripe unto harvest. Jesus is talking about people. He's saying, when Jesus refers to the harvest or sowing and reaping, he is talking about there are people's lives who need to hear about me, and they are just waiting for someone to come and share the good news with them, and all you've got to do is go bring in the harvest. When Jesus talks about harvest, he's talking about the lives of people. And what we see here is, whenever you give bountifully, you can expect to reap bountifully. So if I am fully convinced that, you know, my thing's music, I love music. So if I'm fully convinced that I need to pour a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of energy into music because I think that music connects with people, if I give bountifully, I can expect that God will bring in a harvest of people who are affected by music. If I believe that children's lives are important and I give my time and my money and my energy to children's ministry because I want to see kids come to know, you better believe that there are a lot of kids around here that are just waiting for someone to come and share the good news with them. And God says, if you pour yourself into that, I will give you a harvest. I will disagree with anyone who says, if you'll sow a faith seed of $10, God will give you 100 back. It's not what he's saying. God's harvest is lives of people. And he's saying, when you pour yourself into whatever ministry he has asked you to pour into, he'll bring the harvest. Now, if I come out here and I say, well, I just put so much time and energy into music, and man, I'm so worn out. I'm telling you all this. And I'm bragging about how much time I put into music, and oh my goodness, and I know I'm not. I could do more, but I present myself as doing everything I know God's asked me to do, but I'm not. There's a problem there. And when we look at giving, my motivation and my desire is to say, what am I able to give? If I really believe that God has the ability to use us to change lives, am I doing everything I can? Now, for some of us, everything I can might be 0.05% of my income in like an hour and a half a week. And there have been times in my life when everything I can was like 1% of my income, and I had more time than I had money. And that was everything I could give. Ramen noodles only last for so long, and you can only replace the brakes on that Jetta so many times. Been there, done that. Sometimes 1%'s it. That's between me and Carissa. There are other times in our lives where we have plenty of food, we have everything we need, our cars are working great, you know, how many arrows and do I really need to buy? You know, do I need another? No, I'm great. Sometimes everything I can give is 50%. So putting a dollar amount or a percentage amount on it is a little sketchy because we're at different places in our lives. What I need to ask myself is, am I fully convinced God can use me to change people's lives right here? How much can I give? Now, if I'm eating out at McDonald's every day and we've got a whole list of things, ways we can blow our money. If I'm not taking care of my money, I don't blame that on God. That's me. If I'm doing my best, God says, I've asked you to give. And I know what God's asked me to give. And that's how much I give. That's the problem that Cain ran into, is that God said, hey, this is what I expect out of you. And instead of saying, okay, God, I will come into line with that, he said, nope, I'm just going to stand over here and make fun of people and criticize people who do what they're supposed to do, because that makes me feel so much better. So, as it is mean, as giving, some churches will say 10%, and that is not a New Testament rule. Actually, when we were reading in Acts chapter 5, in chapter 4 it says, a lot of disciples took all the extra stuff they had and they sold it. And they brought it and they distributed it as people had need. So if there are things in my life that I have and don't need, or if there are areas like extra time or extra energy that I have and I see there's a need, the expectation is I will fill the need. oh boy, because I see a lot of needs and I'm so tired. Not really. Don't go there. What has God gifted me to do? When I think about life, what areas do I gravitate toward? That's probably where God's leading me. And God says, okay, I've given to you, now use this. And that's where it becomes between me and God. If God's saying, hey, I know that you could go blow this time or this money or this energy on, you know, and you'd feel so much better at yourself. How many Xbox games do you really need? Or, you know, whatever it is God's leading you to, that's where I want us to see how much we give. So, two quick stories. Jesus was sitting at the temple. He and his disciples were just sitting there. It says they were watching people give. Whole bunch of wealthy people came and they poured in tons of money. And then this old widow came by and put in two mites that were worth 1 cent. She came in and put in 1 penny. And Jesus said, that woman has given more than everybody else combined because her attitude was obedience. That's what I want to be, an obedient person. So when I see a need and God says, hey, Ben, you can do something about this, I want to obey. That's how much I give. That's how much we give. Sometimes it's a little bit, but it's everything I have. Sometimes it's a lot, but it's what God has asked. So if you want me to give you a percentage, I'm sorely disappointing you today because it's not a percentage. It's what has God asked, where's the need, and how can I fill it? So I do my best to keep my bills to a minimum, because how many episodes of, see, this is where my brain goes and we're all different, but I think, how much time do I need to spend watching 250 channels on cable? Okay, well, I don't need a cable bill. And we all have different things, but I run through my list of, I don't really need this, I don't really need this, because without that, I will have the time and energy and resources to pour into what God's asking. Because I know God has convicted me about some things. So I'm not going to convict you. Let God do that. But when he's asked us to give and he shows us a need, give your best. That's what he's asked. Are we all okay with that? Yes. Okay, so 10% is not the rule, but neither is one if you can give 50. It's whatever God's placed on your heart, and whatever you can, that's what you give. Stand with me, and we are going to dismiss. And our prayer is that whatever our seed is, whatever we decide to sow, we know that we are not the source of life. All God has asked us to do is place it here, do our best, and God will bring the harvest. That's what the Bible says, if we're obedient. So let's pray. After we pray, Ben's going to show just the video of the pictures from the kids from Upward Soccer. It's a lot of fun. And so as you're leaving, make sure you take some time to look at this. We had a lot of fun. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us your word. Thank you that you help us bring understanding to our lives, and I ask that you would show us, help us understand when we are being led correctly and when other people are trying to manipulate for our own gain. I know your desire is for us to serve you with everything we have. Talk to each one of us individually about how we can give. Talk to me about how I can be more of who you want me to be so that people don't have to live miserably, so they can know that you will forgive them and you'll give them life. Whatever I need to change in my life, show me. Whatever we need to change as a church, show us. And as individuals, speak to us so that we can have confidence that we're obeying you. It's in the name of Jesus we ask this, and we say, amen. Amen. Have a great week.